Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Today I'm going to give a guaranteed solution to all coronavirus hassles, at least individually. How any individual can be completely free from all corona hassles forever. Guaranteed. You may think, well, why am I speaking about this subject yet again? Well, I'm not particularly personally interested in the subject. I'm not a virusologist or a doctor who has to deal with all these things, nor have I had it yet, to the best of my knowledge. Could get it. Most people around here in Chennai don't seem to be too much bothered about it. I was just watching the beautiful, glorious Sandhya Arati live broadcast from Mayapur with a big crowd of visitors in the temple, and there was no social distancing, and most of them had masks on, but the masks were down. They didn't seem to be too bothered about it either. But there are many places, or at least some places in the world, where people are very bothered about it, not in the least because they're locked down. That's a big hassle, isn't it? Want to get free from lockdown hassle, or if you're not locked down, the threat of future lockdowns. Many people, their livelihood, their job, their business has gone, lost it. It's been a big hassle for many people. Some people are making money out of it. Some people. And what other hassles? Yeah, you could die. That's a hassle. Yeah. Getting it is a hassle. The fear of getting it is a hassle. The fear of being vaccinated is a hassle. Some people are very anxious to get the vaccine. Some people are very anxious not to be vaccinated. What else? I'm sure there are plenty of other. Yeah, just the lingering fear. How long is this going to go on? And can we get back to normal life? Although, like I say, here in India, in many parts, life is pretty much normal, except people walk around, many of them, not all of them, with masks, which mostly they don't wear. And if you don't wear a mask outside, outdoors in Delhi, and you get seen doing that by a police man or woman, you get fined on the spot. How much? 2,000. 2,000 rupees. Or presumably you could just give 1,000 to the policeman and walk away. Oops, I'm not saying the Delhi police are corrupt. Okay, so many hassles. What's a guaranteed solution? Well, here's a suggestion. You can find a remote island somewhere and go and live on it. Although that's a hassle, isn't it? If you go and live on your own, then you're not going to get infected by anyone. Of course, it's like being in solitary confinement. You could also solitary confine yourself, but that's no guarantee, because even the food which you order from Amazon or whatever, that could somehow or other have viruses in it. You could hermetically seal yourself off from the world, like, who was that? Howard Hughes did that. If he wanted to seal himself, he was a big rich man, died. He was trying to seal himself off from germs, and he still got the germs. And, well, he died anyway, germs or no germs. So these are possible solutions. But in the meantime, while you're hermetically sealing yourself off, or you are going to find some remote island, you have to find some means of getting food there. Amazon might not deliver to some remote Pacific island. You have to purchase the damn thing, which you probably can't afford. You have to get the citizens' right to live there, but you can live once you've done all of that, and hopefully in the course of doing all that, you don't get coronavirus, you could live there very peacefully, all alone, too peacefully, probably. But then you're like in a permanent lockdown, so you still have that hassle. But if you want to avoid getting vaccinated, well, that might not work also, because the United Nations or whatever, they may have you on their Google map, their satellite map, and they're hunting down the last person who doesn't have a vaccination, and they send in some drone, and a robot doctor jumps off the drone and forcefully vaccinates you. This is all, well, I'm talking, this is all nonsensical, isn't it? It's nonsensical, okay. But I'm just making the point. It's pretty hard to get a guaranteed situation which is guaranteed freedom from all corona hassles. Now I'm going to give it. Guaranteed cure. You can be free completely from all corona hassles. What is the solution? Cut your throat. Kill yourself. You can also shoot yourself in the head. These are illegal. If it doesn't work, you're likely to get stuck in prison for attempted suicide. Again, I'm talking nonsense, but it is a solution. I mean, it's a solution, but it's a ridiculous solution, because you kill yourself. The whole idea, you want to get free from corona hassle, well, the main hassle is the fear of death, but then if you just kill yourself, well, at least you're not in anxiety. Why am I talking this? What's it got to do with anything spiritual? I'm supposed to be a spiritual person. Okay, I'll tell you, if you're interested. This, what I've just spoken, parallels an example or an analogy that our most worshipable spiritual master, His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, often gave, that there is a certain class of spiritualists known as impersonalists, or more technically, Advaitavadis, Mayavadis, Nirvisheshavadis, or Shunyavadis, Buddhists, who very rightly have observed that this world is full of misery. Prior to corona hassles, there were TB hassles, mumps hassles, measles hassles, malaria hassles, domestic hassles, national hassles, international hassles, pain in your foot hassles, headache hassles, and it goes on. How many hassles? So many hassles. The whole material world is just one big hassle from beginning to end. And what is it? There's some bumper sticker or T-shirt motive that you get born, you struggle for 70 years, then you die. That's life. That's the whole of life. That's as people see it. But if we have even the most rudimentary knowledge of reality beyond all the garbage they teach us in the schools, then we know that it's not all over at death. Reincarnation is a fact. Which means that you get born again and you suffer again. If we take knowledge from the Vedic corpus, in 8,400,000 species of life. It's not true that you're guaranteed a human body. Actually, this idea, that's not there in the traditional spiritual schools, which all come out of India, the knowledge of reincarnation, that you must get a human body. That was some idea introduced by the Theosophists, some people came from the West and studied at a superficial level Indian spirituality and wrote about it in English, And I guess they didn't like the idea that you become a cat or a dog in your next life. So they speculated that there are humans get reincarnated and others don't, which is nonsense. So there is variety. When we get fed up of being hassled in a human body, we can be hassled in a cat body, a dog body, a snake body, a tree body, a giraffe body, a hippopotamus body, and so many other kinds of bodies. From four-headed Brahma at the top of the universe, he's also hassled and harassed, down to the worm in stool body, and even lower. So material life is one big suffering from beginning to end. And spiritually, you might wonder what this has got to do with getting free from corona hassles by committing suicide. I'm on track, don't worry. I didn't forget what the subject is. So the spiritualists observed, we have the famous story of Buddhadev observing that birth is miserable, death is miserable, in between there is disease which is miserable, and there is old age which is miserable, and pretty much the whole situation is miserable. And it goes on life after life. Buddhadev never questioned that. And what's the solution? This solution to the problem, this is the real problem. Corona is only a, see, I'm saying corona, it should be coronavirus, but that's the way the English language is. An adjective becomes a noun out of laziness. Anyway, corona hassles are only symptomatic of the broader panorama of hassle, 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 hassle. And it's been analyzed. There's in the spiritual culture of India, there's adhyatmik klesh, adhibhautik klesh, adhidaivik klesh. They're categorized. Adhyatmik klesh means miseries that we suffer from our own body and our own mind. Our own body, there's so many pains within the body. Then within the mind becomes unnecessarily agitated. We become distressed. We react in certain ways in situations. We develop dislike towards others, which also causes us suffering. And so on. This is called adhyatmik klesha. There is adhibhautik klesha, sufferings which are caused by others. Mosquitoes biting, nations going to war, and people, humans killing each other. Mosquitoes biting, then there's dogs biting, snakes biting, then there's people by insulting us. By scheming to put us down in various ways, other living beings, human and non-human, cause us suffering, cause individual suffering. And then there is adhidaivik klesh, which means natural disturbances means in the actual understanding of the reality of this world, as given in the Vedic corpus of knowledge, what we call natural phenomena, behind them are persons. There is a god of the seas, a god of the earth, goddess actually in this case. there is a god of the wind. at all natural phenomena. It's not going on just some what they call natural forces. It's all organized. And we suffer from excessive heat, excessive cold, excessive rain, not enough rain, hurricanes, tsunamis, and so on. These are called adhidaivik klesha, or what in modern parlance would be called natural disturbances. So in this way, suffering, suffering, suffering. So the whole basis of the Indian spiritual culture is seeing, observing the situation of the world that is full of suffering and trying to find a solution to it. Actually, when I say spiritual culture, it's a bit inaccurate because Buddhism, which is a major player in the Indian spiritual culture, although it's mostly not in India nowadays, doesn't recognize that there is any spirit. They recognize the problem of suffering in repeated birth and death, but they don't recognize there's any spirit, which I don't understand, and they don't understand, and they don't even try to understand it. They just say, no, they're... Anyway, I won't get into all that. But anyway, we can call it spiritual culture. We can include the Buddhism in the spiritual culture in a conventional way. So this is the basis of India's spiritual culture. Yoga. Why is... What is that? There's yoga, is the sister Patanjali yoga, chitta vritti nirodha. It's the whole idea of the aim of the Patanjali yoga. Nowadays people do exercises and all this, but the ultimate aim of that is chitta vritti nirodha, stopping the vritti, the action, the inherent action of the mind, chitta. Chitta can be mind, consciousness, include antakarana, the internal organ, the sense of self-identity, abhimana or ahankara. This is all very much analyzed. So yoga is meant for that. The system of jnana, of Brahma Anusandhana, seeking after the ultimate reality in the Advaita school, it's all aimed at that. Brahma Jignyasa, inquiring into the nature of ultimate reality with the understanding Brahmavit Brahmaiva Bhavati. One who knows, realizes what is Brahma, the ultimate reality, becomes that Brahma, becomes that ultimate reality. And this is where we get back to the coronavirus hassle solution analogy. Because those who say that the solution is to realize yourself as to be spiritual and then merge into the oneness of spirituality. That's what they say, oneness. There is oneness, perception of two-ness, of duality, they say, is an illusion. So when we realize that we are not actually an individual, and we give up that ahankar, that sense of thinking, I am an individual living being, then we merge into the oneness of reality. This is what the Advaitavadis teach. And the Buddhists teach something very similar, although historically Buddhism precedes the Advaitavad of Shankara. But anyway, it's very similar, even though they don't accept there is spiritual being, but they talk of a very well-known word in spiritual circles, nirvana, or nibbana in Pali, nirvana in Sanskrit, which, what does it mean? Well, it's one of those things that Buddhists don't even really try to define. They attempt to attain that state, but they don't attempt to define what it is. And who is attempting to attain that? They also don't want to define that, because in their understanding, there's no person who's trying to attain. You're trying to do something, right, in Buddhism. You're trying to do something, right? There's something behind all that meditation and discussing and Om Mani Padme Hum and all that kind of thing. But if we go into the philosophy, not very deeply, we'll find that not very deep in Buddhism, basic Buddhist teaching, although it's very wide and it's not all the same, not all so close say the same thing, but basically what they say is that there is no person who's trying to do anything. And the aim, although there's nothing really to be aimed at, because there isn't anything in existence and there isn't anything not in existence. And does it sound confusing? Yeah. But the aim is nirvana, which you can't define it anyway, but there's some kind of idea that's in the Shunyavad school of Buddhism. There is a nothingness. It's a real. It's very difficult to say anything, and it's not just the barrier of the English language. It's the whole concept, or non-concept, or anti-concept, or not a concept, and not a concept, that of Buddhism. In other words, you probably can't even talk about it, although they do talk about it so much. But sound confusing? Yeah, it's confusing. Anyway, the idea, nirvana, just means stopping, snuffing, putting out a candle, finished. There was nothing to finish, but when you realize there's nothing to finish, then you're finished. And when you're finished, you can come back again as a bodhisattva and help others who don't really exist to understand they don't really exist and stop existing. And then they can also come back as a bodhisattva, still existing and not existing, and help others to not exist, although they don't exist anyway. Very, very confusing. Very, very confusing. One thing I very much liked when I came to Krishna consciousness, and at least superficially I came, is that it all makes so much sense. In the name of spiritualism, it was just obvious to me, although I wasn't at the time anything like a philosopher. And who's a philosopher? Krishna's a philosopher. Who can actually understand that great ocean of philosophy? But anyway, all the talk of spiritualism, it doesn't seem to make any sense. This whole idea that you merge into a oneness, what oneness? And what do you want to merge into anything for anyway? Or just become nothing? So the analogy, committing suicide, getting back to that, this is where I'm all leading to, if you could follow so far all this stuff. This idea that we cut our throat, the idea is you kill yourself, right? That's why did you cut your throat? Well, don't know really. I thought it'd be interesting. People if cut their throat. We don't at all recommend it. Not recommending it. Don't block me from YouTube saying I'm promoting something which is wrong. I 100% accept that to slit your own throat is wrong. There may be some very, very, very rare circumstances. It's hard to even think of. Someone's got a secret and someone's going to come and get them, and then if the enemies get the secret, then they'll develop a weapon, which, I don't know, take it out of a movie or something. Why do, what is it, cyanide drops you take, spy takes when he's caught so he doesn't reveal the secrets. There may be some grounds for suicide, but very, very rarely not recommended. But to say that, yeah, why do people want to die like that? Because they feel the condition they're in is so much full of suffering that it's better just to finish it all. Suicide, over. The thing they don't realize is that you don't die. You go to another existence. And you might think that, well, my next existence got to be better than the one I'm in, because the one I'm in is so bad. But that's not a fact. Because as we understand from the spiritual knowledge of the Vedic teachings, which teach us what happens after death, at least in a general way, people who commit suicide go to a horrible situation. They become a ghost, which is an absolutely horrendous situation. Why are people afraid of ghosts? They're so unhappy. They just want to give unhappiness to others. Ghosts exist. I don't want to talk about them anymore, enough. But suicide is not a solution for the problem. So this idea of, what is the idea of suicide? That you just lose your identity. My existence is so miserable that I just want to stop it. So stop it, finish. But you don't finish. That's the problem. So the example that Srila Prabhupada gave of the Mayavadis, the Shunyavadis, they properly identify that material existence is full of misery. And it's true for everyone in this world. And by this world, I don't just mean this earth, but the whole universe. And there are so many, there are multiverses. This we all know from Vedic knowledge, for long before the concept of multiverse was imagined by imaginative scientists. Oh, this world is full of misery, and it's not that Prince Charles is sitting in Buckingham Palace thinking, I'm going to become the king, and he's very happy, and Elon Musk is sitting on top of his hundreds of billions of dollars and thinking, I'm very happy. Everyone has to suffer birth, death, old age, and disease. And Mr. Musk, you can take people out to Mars, and they'll be miserable there too. We messed up this planet, all of us together, didn't we?
It wasn't my fault. I was born just 20 years ago.
Yeah? Okay. We're the generation who messed it up for you. Sorry. I've been trying to do something of raising people to a better consciousness for most of this life. Don't blame me. Don't shoot me. But we can't escape this idea. Okay, we're going to go to Mars and make a new civilization on Mars. Oh yeah, we're going to solve all the problems. We're going to have Muskism, the Muscovites. Wait a minute, there's people in Moscow, right? we're going to have a new idea of how we're going to run society and do it all right. No, you're not. You're not. We can't escape the miseries of this material world by traveling around within it. We're already traveling within it. Brahmanda, Brahmite. Yeah, what is that? Eta Brahmanda Bari Ananta Jibagon Chaurashi Laka Jonite Koriye Brahman. This is our situation. We're already traveling within 84 lakh species, 8,400,000 species, on different planets, in different situations in the universe. And wherever we go, it's miserable. So this idea that we can be happy in this world, nonsense. The idea to get free from the miseries of this material world, very good idea for the Advaitavadis, for the Shunyavadis, the Buddhists, the impersonalists. They got it right, but how to solve the problem, they got it very, very wrong. The idea that we lose our individuality and we merge into a oneness or something which is very similar. We just stop our, we stop identifying with a sense of individuality and just don't exist. Something like that. I won't, anyway. This idea, either one of these two ideas, which is basically the same idea, we stop our individual existence. But this, it's the solution of someone who sees that life is so miserable that they just want to commit suicide. There is a much better solution. It is actually the solution to all the sufferings of material existence, which is to come to our real spiritual existence, which is happy. We are by nature happy beings. Ever wonder why we want to be happy? Because we are by nature happy. That is, we want to be happy because it may sound like us, it's so intrinsic to our being that it sounds like a silly question. Why do you want to be happy? It is just like asking a thirsty man, why do you want to drink water? It's not a question to be asked. It's just something that's so inherent in our psyche. We want to be happy. Of course, there are some people who are masochists, or they take pleasure. They seem to take pleasure in being depressed, but that's also a perverse kind of pleasure. Everyone wants to be happy, but we don't know how to be happy. And despairing of being happy, we may think to commit suicide, either physically or whatever, lethal injection. There are so many ways. Don't do any of them. There's so many ways of physically committing suicide and spiritual suicide by finishing off our individuality and merging into the oneness, or just ceasing to stream of consciousness, seizing the stream of consciousness that we are and we are not, and so on. This is a loser's proposition. We should we should find out what is our real happy life. That real happy life is described by Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita. It is the pursuit of the spiritual schools within India, known as the Vaishnava schools, who recognize that we are all individual living beings. We crave happiness because that is our nature. The source of all happiness is Lord Krishna, who is the supreme happy person eternally. He is a spiritual living being. He is the supreme living being, described in English language very imperfectly, but approximately enough we can get the idea. It's described by the word God, but it's not that God with a beard who's chucking people into hell. Forget that. But the supreme controller, the supreme knower, the supreme friend, the supreme lover, the supreme beautiful, the supreme kind, the supreme sweet, that is Krishna, the supreme person. And our happiness is in relationship with him eternally. That's why the idea, you go to a remote island by yourself, which somehow or other has all plants that you can live on, no meat eating. If there are plants, there are going to be animals, the animals are going to harass you. Anyway, the idea, you want to go alone to a desert island or whatever, not a desert island, a tropical island, but there's no pleasure in being alone. Pleasure is with others. Sometimes we want to get away from others because we're so frazzled in being with so many people and so stressed out. But actual happy life means to live with beautiful, loving people. beautiful, not just in their bodily constitution, because many people who are physically beautiful are, in terms of their personality, horrible, actually. And some people who are physically not very attractive are beautiful in their personality. Krishna is the center of all beauty. He's the best personality of all. And our eternal relationship is with Krishna in the spiritual world. And understanding this and acting on that is the way to prepare ourselves to go to the spiritual world. In other words, we don't give up our individuality, but we give up the false individuality. We don't give up egoism, but we give up false egoism. In other words, I am, yes, I am. This idea, we have to stop the idea of I am. It's a suicidal idea. I will continue to exist. But all these wicked propensities within our heart, lust, greed, anger, envy, illusion, pride, these are to be given up. And the positive qualities are to be accepted. Easier said than done. Positive qualities, love, truth, kindness, charity, generosity, these positive qualities. But it's easier said than done, especially when we live in the world today, which is so full of strife and so full of envy. Actually, if we look at historical records, for at least the last few hundred years, intellectuals have been writing about that the situation in society is so bad today, people's character is so bad, the way they deal with each other. I've been saying that for hundreds of years. It's just getting worse and worse and worse. It's easier said than done, but it can be done, it should be done, it must be done, if we are not to condemn ourselves to continued existence in the land of suffering. Corona is just one aspect of the vast ocean of tears that is material existence. If we take all the tears that have been shed by people suffering since time immemorial, it'll come to much, much more than all the oceans of the world, Atlantic, Pacific, Indian Ocean, Arctic Ocean, and whatever other oceans there may be. It's much, much more. The ocean of tears. This is the world we're living in. But there is hope. There is the spiritual world. But to go there, we have to simply recognize that we are not independent enjoyers. We are meant to all cooperate together in love with Krishna in the center. He's the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Friend, the Supreme Lover. Everything should be centered on Krishna. And then we develop our positive personality. Forget this snuffing out, stopping. Yeah, stop lust, greed, anger, etc. But how can we do that? By developing the positive qualities, like I say, of love and all that. But love, you can say love. Yeah, it's easy to it's much easier to have an idea of loving everyone than to actually love individuals. But so this idea of cosmic love, cosmic love, I love everyone, but I really don't like my neighbor at all. Putting Krishna in the center, it makes it possible to love everyone, seeing Krishna in the center. That doesn't mean that we embrace a terrorist who's ready to stab us, or that we embrace a tiger who's ready to kill us. Some common sense is there also in our dealings. But love for Krishna expands to love of others. And this love of others expresses itself by giving people knowledge of Krishna, So they also can come out of this illusion of material existence by spreading the chanting of the holy names of Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, by spreading knowledge of that, by spreading this chanting, so people's natural attraction to Krishna will be awakened. So that's really this is the guaranteed solution, not only to corona hassles, but to all hassles. All hassles, the waves of the ocean of material existence will never stop flowing. You may say, let the waves stop, then I will start my boat. But the waves will never stop. So we should start. Even in the most difficult situation, we have to go on in making our spiritual progress by chanting the names of Krishna, studying Bhagavad Gita as it is, and becoming Krishna conscious. This is the solution. Otherwise, corona hassle, yeah, that's going to go on. You may be chanting Hare Krishna and get coronavirus. You may do. So it happens. We're in the material world. We're in the material ocean. Even if we're on the boat, plying over the ocean, some of the water may come on the boat. We may be influenced by the material world. But keep our faith in Krishna. Go forward, Krishna consciousness. Get out of this material world. While we're in this material world, let us all work together to make this world a better place by giving knowledge of Krishna, by which people will live a much better life, even materially, because they won't be trying to exploit each other and rape the earth and do all kinds of horrible things, because people will be happy in Krishna consciousness and they won't need to do all these gross things to make themselves so-called happy. So that's it. That is the real guaranteed solution to all corona hassles and all kinds of hassles. As long as we're in this world, there will be hassles. Physical suicide is never a solution. Spiritual suicide, by trying to lose our identity forever, that is not a solution. The real solution is to chant Hare Krishna, surrender to Krishna, give our life to Krishna, and in this way, Krishna will deliver us from all problems forever. That is it. Hare Krishna. Vancha kalpa tarubhyascha kripa sindhubhyascha patita nam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Dante nitaya tuna kang padio nipatya kripa chakaku shatameta da humbra vimi. Hey sadhava sakala eva vihaya dura. Gauranga chandra charne kurutanurada.